The fictional detective Sherlock Holmes often chided his friend Mr. Watson for seeing but not observing. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll explains that in like fashion, many people see the words in their Bibles but fail to observe anything of importance. In his classic series called Searching the Scriptures, Chuck teaches us how to carefully discern what God is saying. If you've ever been frustrated while reading the Bible, these principles will open the door to deeper understanding. Chuck titled today's message, Reading the Ingredients, Observing the Text. And we begin with prayer.
To have you, O God, as our own is far beyond having a wonderful friend. By having you within us, we have a power that we would not otherwise have. We have a peace no one else can give, no matter how much they love us. We have with you a hope that will take us beyond this life into an eternity with you, which no one else can provide. How gracious of you, Lord. What wondrous love is that, where you so love us that you gave your one and only Son, that if we would simply trust him, we would have, we would possess, we would be secure in the promise of eternal life. Teach us today, our Father, to go beyond a fear of you, so that we might know what you have written to us in such a way that a relationship with you is intimate and deep, satisfying. I pray especially for those whose nights are marked by sleeplessness, whose worry list is longer than any other list in their lives. I pray for those who struggle, concerned over something physical or emotional or something in the home that's troubling. I pray that the truth of your love will sweep over us and we'll come to realize that you can meet whatever may be the need as we lay it before you. Thank you, Father, for the challenge of living in a time like this. What a privilege it is to represent you in the midst of a world that is awash, lost in its own self, troubled by many of the problems that we have created. And today we pray that we might have relief and confidence that you are working out your will and that you do all things well. We count on you for that. Our nation is in great need. Our country living under the threat of those who would invade and bring harm and hurt to those, especially those who name the name of Christ. Protect us, we pray. Watch over us. Guide us and guard us as only you are able to do. It is in the name of Jesus we pray these things. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Reading the Ingredients, Observing the Text.
Through observation, we discover what the Bible says, and that is foundational. Accuracy of our interpretation hinges on how careful is our observation. So let's think about observation for a few moments. What do I mean when I refer to observation? A definition would be a good place to begin. To observe is to inspect or to take note of something, to watch carefully, with attention to details. Determining what the text of Scripture says is altogether different than determining what it means. Turn, for example, to the verse we looked at a little earlier, Psalm 119, verse 18. Just a single verse before we land on another for our time together. 119, 18. What is that verse? Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. Well, the first thing I would observe if I were to make a list on a piece of paper, this is a prayer. He's not writing to his brother or to a friend. He's writing to the only one who can open his eyes to see. So he's offering up a prayer to the Lord. Psalm 119 is full of them, except for the first three verses and verse 115. Every other of the 176 verses is a prayer. It speaks to God as he's writing the psalm, a great psalm to become acquainted with. Here's another observation. The prayer is focused on one request, only one request. The request is in the opening words, open my eyes. He's really asking the Lord, help me see what is here in your word. The prayer is specific. He's not interested in merely looking around and appreciating nature. He's not asking that he might look up and see the stars, or look around and see the people that are around him. He's asking, open my eyes to see truth. And his prayer is also an acknowledgement. Look at the verse again. Let me see, however, look at it, the wonderful truths that are here. He's acknowledging the truths are wonderful, so the request is specific. Lord, I come to you today and I ask you to open my eyes as I unroll the scroll, as he did in that day, and I come across a section of the Torah, the law, and I read it. I want to know fully and completely, as best I can, what it is saying. Now, let's change from this verse to the one we'll spend most of our time with, Acts chapter 1. So turn to the New Testament, the first chapter of the book of Acts. Look at verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. You have stated what the verse reads, but you have not observed carefully what it says. It takes time. You have to dig into it. So first of all, we look for terms. The first word is what? But. We know it's a term that represents a contrast, a change of direction. Jesus, verse 4, is eating with them. He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but there's that word again, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, part of the context, when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore the kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know, but... Now you've got a context. So let's look again at verse 7. The Father has the authority to set those dates and times. That means when I'm coming and when I'm establishing my kingdom. They're not for you to know, but since you're not to know that, something is going to happen that will play a role in your knowing that. So we have a contrast here. Let me remind you, never isolate a verse. Never go there. Isolated verses lead to error, especially portions of verses. When you take a portion of a verse, you're headed for trouble. So as I take this verse apart, understand, you need to understand and value the context. Let's go to the next word, you. Now, in English, you can't tell if that's singular or plural. Jesus is speaking, and he's talking to his apostles. So we know because of that, that the you has to be plural. Who would it be? We just read. It would be the apostles. Verse 6. How do I know that? I look back. I locate that you goes back to the apostles. So we could say, you apostles, you men who were followers of mine. Again, it's a question-answer time. Now we get to the main verb, you will receive. Look at it, right there in your Bible, you will receive. You're not going to cause this to happen, you're going to receive something. Is it past or present or future? It's a verb. Every verb has a tense. Which one is this? Past, present, or future? I'm not going too fast, am I? What is it? Future, of course. You will receive. Meaning what? They do not now have the power. Very simple, but if you read it hurriedly, you wouldn't get that. And how many people read their Bible hurriedly so they can get through the chapter in 20 minutes or 10 minutes? Forget your speed reading course when you come to a serious study of the Bible. There's no hurry, but you will receive. What are they going to receive? If it's important enough for him to say, but you will receive, it's important enough for us to notice he uses the word power. If we had time, we would get a dictionary, we'd look up the meaning because that deserves investigation. We would go there when you get to words like that. Notice the cause and effect. You're going to receive power when, look at it, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now stop. They're not praying for the Holy Spirit. They're not bargaining that somehow if they give up this, then they'll get the Holy Spirit. They're not promising that they're going to be living good, clean lives so that now the Holy Spirit, no, he says, you will receive. This is a promise. You can count on this, men. You're going to receive power because it will come from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the cause, and the effect is the presence of power in one's life. That's when it will occur. And that's not all he promises. Look at the next connective. And, look at it. And you will be my witnesses. If I were marking my Bible, I would mark both wills. You will receive power. At the same time, you will tell the story. You will testify of me. You'll be my witnesses. There's more and more. In my mind, I get this. I pause and imagine that. How amazed they must have been. You know why? Because the previous setting, when they were with Jesus, they're all running away because he's being arrested before going on trial and ultimately nailed to a cross. These are the same guys who ran away, but they've now gathered back. They've seen him. They've heard his, don't be afraid. They've received his assurance. And now of all things are being told, I'm not going to punish you for running away. As a matter of fact, something transforming is going to happen in your lives. You're going to receive power from the third member of the Trinity. You're going to have supernatural strength. You're going to have insight into the truth of my word. You're going to have courage. You won't be intimidated when those come along that stand against you. You see, my great tendency here is to begin to apply it, but we're going to just observe it. I enter into their world, and I think of what it must have been like to have heard Jesus say to me as one of the apostles, I'm going to receive power, and of all things, I'm going to tell people about him as his witness everywhere. But the verse doesn't end before he gets specific. Where will they go with that witness? Look at the end of verse 8. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Where are those places? Well, they're not inside the United States. If you're Canadian, they're not in Canada. Obviously, you know they're in the land of Israel. So what do we need right now? Maps. Oh, I can't wait. Turn back to your maps. Find the map in your Bible. Some of you are going, how long is this going to last? Longer than you wish. So stay with me. I want you to get to the maps. And if your wife is carrying your Bible, I told you last time that's not going to work. So I'll let you look on one time. Next time you have your own. Each one of you find the map that says the ministry of Jesus. Find that map that says Israel during the ministry of Jesus, because there are other maps back there. Got it? You should see what I'm looking at right now. People staring at me. Look at the map. At the top of the map is a body of water called the Sea of Galilee. At the bottom is another body of water, much, much larger, called the Dead Sea. Trickling in between it is a river called the Jordan River. The river flows out of the Sea of Galilee and down into the Dead Sea. When you get to the Dead Sea, go to the top of the Dead Sea and look to your left, which is west. Look to your left. Before long, you will locate, put your finger on it, the city of Jerusalem. That's home base for these apostles. You'll be my witnesses right there in Jerusalem. He also said in Judea, okay? You're looking in the right direction, not at me, but look at your map. Look around it. You'll see large letters that will say Judea. What's that? That's the county, called in those days the province. Jerusalem is a city located in the province of Judea. Okay? Dallas is in the province of this Dallas County. Houston is in the province of Harris County. Jerusalem is in the province of the Judean County. So you're going to not only be a witness for me in the city, you're going to take the message to cities around you. And you could pick out some of them right there on your own. How about Samaria? You thought Judea was tough to find. Look up north. Same size print, you will find Samaria. It's another province. See it? It's a county. It's a region. What you may not know is that it's a place that Jews never wanted to go. It has a long history. I won't get into it. But most of them were so prejudiced, they never wanted to be anywhere around it. And when they would come from Galilee down to Judea, they would go around Samaria. They wouldn't go through it. Stay out of Samaria. And Jesus, of all things, says to his apostles, when you receive power, you're going to be my witnesses where you live, and then outside where you live, and you'll even be taking my message to Samaria. And from there, you're going to carry it to the remotest part of the earth. And that's so broad, this map doesn't cover it. If you go a couple of maps further, you'll see the journeys of Paul, and you'll see a broader picture of the world as the message began to spread. That carries us through the book of Acts. And ultimately, he takes it to the very end of the book of Acts, where he's in Rome, Acts 28, 16 through 18. Now back to Acts 1:8. Let me tie this together in a way that may surprise you. What we have in the 8th verse of Acts 1 is an inspired outline of the book of Acts. Do you know that? For the first 7 chapters, they're in Jerusalem. And they're witnessing, and they're suffering, and they're going through persecution, and they're being misunderstood. Some of them are taken under arrest. They're going through difficult times. Others of them are watching God bless, and the numbers are increasing as they're witnesses for him. That witnessing begins in chapter 2, and it carries on through 7. And then there's such a persecution, they begin to be scattered, and they move into Judea in chapter 8 of this book of Acts. In chapter 9, Paul is born again. He's converted on his way to Damascus to put an end to Christians. And after he's changed and transformed, he takes the message far beyond. So between chapter 8 and the end of the book, we are going into Samaria and the remotest part of the world. If you were to ask people in that day, the most remote would be Rome, where the emperor sat. And would you believe, before Paul had finished his life, he had an audience with the emperor, just exactly as they were promised in verse 8. Now look at the verse again. It begins to take on a new light. But since I'm not able to give you the time regarding my return to this earth, let me tell you what will happen in between. You're going to be the recipients of an incredible power. It'll be power that will come from the Holy Spirit. And he will fill you with that power, and you will become changed men. You will no longer operate in fear and intimidation. You will, in fact, carry my message into the province around your city. You will carry it up into Samaria, places in Samaria you've never been. You will become one of my spokespersons. And then from there, you will take it on to the end of the earth. Now, right about now, you're starting to feel a little smug. Man. I know this verse. Look at these observations. I remember the feeling when I took a course from Dr. Howard Hendricks called Bible Study Methods back when I was in seminary, when the earth's crust was cooling, 1959, 1960. Howard Hendricks taught this course, and we were all on the edge of our seats. No teacher like that man when he taught you how to study the Bible. And he said, all right, men, that time we were only men in the seminary. He said, all right, men, when you go home, go back to your dorm or your residences tonight. I want you to write down on a sheet of paper 50 observations from Acts 1:8. My first thought was, you have got to be kidding. 50? I'm doing good to pull up 10 or 12. But I sat down in our little apartment, and I wrote down 50 observations. I was so pleased. I brought it back, and we all laid our 50 observations in front of him. Good work. Now go home tonight and find 50 more from the same earth. You know what? We did. And we could have even found 50 more. How could we? Ladies and gentlemen, we have an infinite text. It is unfathomable. Its truths are bottomless. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may observe what is there. You could take a verse of Scripture, you could take a section of Scripture and keep yourself busy for the longest time just digging into the words and seeing how they relate. Now, let's learn how to read. You thought I was basic before. Now I'm going to teach you students how to read. Here we go. Think of your head. Okay, your eyes. And then we'll think of your ears. And then we'll think of your nose. And then we'll think of your mouth. All right? Let's start with the eyes. We need to read as if for the very first time. The worst thing you can say when you start to study your Bible is, oh, I've read this before. Or I know what this says. I know what this means. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, you may know the obvious, but you don't really know in depth what it is saying. You need fresh eyes. I realized that when for years I had looked at the FedEx logo on the side of every FedEx truck. You've seen it. I was riding along with my son several years ago. We were in his pickup. We were following a FedEx truck. And we were talking, and we weren't talking about the truck, but suddenly he said, see the arrow? I go, arrow. Yeah, in the FedEx truck. You see the arrow? I go, are we looking at the same truck? He said, yeah, Dad, look. What's he saying? Observe. Between the E and the X is an arrow. Some of you go, I didn't know that. You did know it, maybe, but maybe there's someone around you that I didn't know it. All these years, I've looked at FedEx and never seen an arrow. Now, every time I look at FedEx, all I can see is an arrow. It's funny, once you discover something like that. As you get acquainted with the Scriptures, you will see things as if for the first time, because they will be.
Observation is one of the primary tools for understanding the Bible. There's much more teaching we need to hear on this topic, and we encourage you to keep listening. To purchase all 8 studies on CD, go to insightworld.org/store and look for the study called Searching the Scriptures. Well, in recent days, Chuck Swindoll has been very intentional about making our listening family aware of the financial challenge facing Insight for Living. And gratefully, many of our friends have stepped forward to give generously, and many have agreed to become monthly companions. Chuck, when Insight for Living sponsors a public event, or sometimes on Sunday mornings after you preach, you have the privilege of greeting monthly companions who attend. And they often have a little twinkle in their eyes, don't they?
You know they do. I'm down front right after I preached. I'll stand there until virtually the last person in the church leaves. Cynthia's right there by me, and we can't number the people who've come by and done that very thing. They'll either say, we regularly support you, or they prefer to say, we're among your monthly companions. And I always give them an extra hug or shake their hands with a little more vigor. And I say, you can't know what that means to us. And many of them will say, oh, I think we do. I think we do know. That's why we want to do it. So that's what today is about. We want to prompt you to move from this random giver prompted by impulse to regular giving so that your gift comes through and helps us in season, out of season, month after month.
Well, to become a monthly companion right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, the number is 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. To say thank you to our first-time monthly companions, we'd like to send you a brand new book Chuck's written. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? Each of the 11 chapters in this book addresses a specific problem, such as pain, loss, and loneliness. Again, when you become a monthly companion, we'd be happy to send you the book, What If God Has Other Plans? If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Searching the Scriptures, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Reading the Ingredients, Observing the Text, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.